Hi, welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. So, it's after Thanksgiving. How'd you do, Brian? Did you have a lot of turkey?
Oh my God, two of them.
Two?
On Thanksgiving Day, I went to my brother's, and the day after, to my father's.
Wow. Oh, you've just gobbled it all up, huh?
Yuck.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, I had Charlie Brown's dinner brought to me on Thanksgiving by my wonderful Peter. That was very sweet of him. So we had a nice Thanksgiving turkey dinner here. And that was good. You know, normally I was kind of heartbroken over the fact that I couldn't cook. But I know there's women out there going, what?
You don't look heartbroken.
No, I mean, I love to cook and all that stuff. But, you know, I think what I'll do is I'll make a nice big turkey dinner for Christmas. But in any event, so we had that, so that was fun. And I do have a turkey dinner waiting for me in the fridge that Mom brought.
Ooh.
Yeah, Mom makes the best.
I had the option for leftovers, but I refused.
Oh, really? And she even brought me shrimp cocktail, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and a slice of homemade pumpkin pie. And
just a slice?
Yeah, well, I'm not a big dessert person, you know, so.
Yeah, it's pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
Everybody loves pumpkin
pie. I love
pie.
The smell of pumpkin pie cooking or baking, but I don't like to eat it, really.
Oh, man, put a pie in front of me, that's gone.
Really?
The whole thing.
Oh, my God. Like, pumpkin cheesecake or pumpkin cheese pie I'll make and I'll eat, because it's cheesecake-based, but anyway. So, Thanksgiving was a real success then. We all got through it. Well, good. Okay. We don't have any meetings. I guess you're aware of that for the month of December.
We don't?
No, we don't.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. They are suspended because it is the holiday season, and in keeping with the holiday spirit, we want all our ghost hunters to be home and enjoying their family time. So, that said, we do have our meetings set for January in 2007. The first one up at bat is going to be on January 3rd in the Hazlitt Library at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. That is our Central Jersey Division meeting that's headed up by Gregory and Sherry Irish, our team leaders. Next one is January 16th at 293 Main Street in the Community Center's Blue Room. That is the Northwest Division that is headed up by yours truly. And the last one of the month in January is the Northeast Division, headed up by Laura Lindemann. That's January 26th in the Bogota Recreation Center, located at 162 West Main Street in Bogota. All meetings start at 7 p.m. and end at 8:30 p.m. You do not have to be a member of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society to attend a meeting. It's free and open to the public. And if you decide you want to become a member, you can. We always have sign-up sheets, so you can always sign up and pay the $20 lifetime membership fee there, and you'll get your certificate and card in the mail subsequently. So, oh, and guess what?
What?
This show is uploading. Its air date is going to be December 1st, which is my son Trent's birthday.
No way.
Yes, my little Sagittarius. I want to wish him a happy birthday on the show.
Happy birthday, Trent.
He does listen. Yes, and he listens to, you know, he and Brian, my other son, my older son, are definitely fans of King Brian here, our tech guru.
Well, that would be me.
Yes. So happy birthday, son. He's 10 years old today.
Double digits.
I know.
Soon a teenager.
My baby is 10.
Well, I actually read an article now. They're saying 13 doesn't mean teenager anymore.
Yeah, it's getting younger and younger. It's so. I think it's all the growth hormones they pump into all the foods. Babies are being born bigger than they used to be, and I think the children, the girls, are hitting puberty way too soon.
I agree.
I mean, it's scary. I think we've really screwed over our entire society by pumping all these hormones and drugs and stuff into the foods. But that's just me, you know. So I finally got a copy of Ghost Magazine sent to me.
I'm glad someone did.
Yeah, hello. I mean, I've written to them. I mean, I moved in April, okay? I wrote in April, I wrote in May, I wrote in July. Finally, I think in July, I got an email back. Yeah, so we got your fact that you moved. I'm like, great, well then update the freaking mailing list because you're sending, I missed my spring and I missed my summer edition of Ghost Magazine. Now I got the fall 2006.
Well, wait a second. All right, you have at least some sort of excuse. You moved.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't move at that time and I still never got them.
Really? I wonder if they ever even published them.
I mean, I had to scream.
And you have a 2-year subscription, right?
I renewed for 2 years.
2 years, okay.
And I yelled and screamed at them after my renewal because they said, oh, well, renewals takes 4 to 6 weeks to process. What for? I'm renewing.
Yeah, you're already in their database. It should just be a no-brainer, right?
So, it took me almost 2 months to get a magazine sent to me.
That's ridiculous. So, I mean, it's a nice magazine, but, you know.
Whoever's handling their subscriptions, they better change them soon because they're going to lose a lot of people.
Yeah. I'm not too impressed with the fact that I still, after since April, and it still was sent to the wrong address. And you know, I'm out here in Sticksville, so it's like hit or miss with our post office. I mean, I guess sometimes my mail gets forwarded to me here, and sometimes it doesn't. Now, not for nothing, I still know the person who lives where I moved from.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure had the magazine shown up there, I would have heard about it, you know, through like a status message or some way to hint to me that, haha, I have your ghost magazine.
Right,
because
right.
Knowing how much I'm into ghosts and all this stuff, that would be the key way to like, stick it to me. I got your magazine and you don't, haha, you know. But no. Not hide nor hair. It never showed up. And so anyway, Ghost Magazine, please update your mailing list. You know?
Well, all I know is if they don't make some changes soon, I'm never renewing ever again. I will tell people not to sign up.
You probably wouldn't have to. I mean, seeing if things run this inconsistently, it stands to reason that you'll probably just start getting the magazine for the rest of your life.
No, knowing my luck, I'll never get one, and I'll keep paying.
Well, anyway, I was flipping through the magazine, and I noticed Vince Wilson, my buddy, has an article in there, Ghost Hunting 101, and he's really talking about how to like get your ghost hunting group up to snuff in terms of financing itself and affording.
Right.
Because let's face it, there's no money in this.
Wait, I'm leaving then.
No, I mean, seriously, absolutely no. You don't make a freak. If anything, it costs you money. It's not a totally expensive hobby. It's not like collecting Learjets or something, but it's pricey enough.
It
you
adds
know.
Up.
Yeah, I mean,
over time it adds up.
What has saved us, I would say, considerably is the advent of digital. You know, because
right.
back in the day, I was doing 7-8 rolls of film on an investigation and having to pay $10 a roll to get that developed. That was really pricey.
Oh, yeah.
The digital cameras alleviate that cost, but then you still got to come up with that money up front to buy a decent digital camera.
Correct.
And, you know, but it costs you, you know, no matter which way you slice it. Even if you just go out, buy your domain name, your website, and you put up a few pictures, you're paying your hosting fees. I mean, there's a lot of costs that people don't even, that's just general monthly costs, you know, like the NJGHS website, people, hello, is not free, you know. But
well, it's funny, because I remember in the last Ghost Conference, I forget who mentioned it, but they were saying, I think it was Jeff, actually, who was mentioning it. He says, you know, there's some organizations out here who are like www.lycos.com/L. You know what? I looked at so many groups over this weekend
mm-hmm.
in Pennsylvania, and they have no name to their website.
Really? No domain name?
Nothing.
They're doing like GeoCities and those AOL things?
I mean, or even geocities.com/ your group name. But it's not. It's like, you know, -LDR and... You know what? If you can't get a domain name, you don't even put up a website.
Truth to tell, the domain names now are cheap.
You can get
five, six bucks.
A year.
You know, yeah. And like GoDaddy. GoDaddy.com. I renewed 6feetunderwear.com through GoDaddy.com for like 3 years for the cost of what I was paying for 1 year at Network Solutions.
It's true. The more years you register it for, the cheaper each year goes down.
And then at least you have the domain name, and when I finally get the site up and running, it's got somewhere to point to.
That's
you know,
right.
Something that people can remember. But, yeah, I mean, anyway, so I was looking through there, and Vince was talking about in his article the ways that your club can raise some money to kind of help support itself. And so that's pretty good. In fact, that's what my workshop's supposed to be on for the Ghost World Conference. So I'm going to go through his article and then take some of the tricks of the trade that I've learned over the years. I mean...
Ooh, the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society car wash.
Yeah, there you go. Oh,
bikini car wash.
Yeah. I did notice they're still running our NJGHS ad in the Ghost magazine, which is very nice of them, you know. But it says on there, you know, to keep your eyes out for Morbid Mobile Tours. So it's a very old ad. You know, Morbid Mobile Tours, when I had the hearse with my ex-husband, that's already come and gone, people. So don't hold your breath waiting for it. We're done.
Unless the new owner decides to start something up.
You know, that's up to Carl. I don't know if that's something he wants to do. But, you know, I think if I ever get another hearse, not if, when... Someday I will definitely get another hearse. Cause I love the car.
From Carl.
No, I want to. You know, I'm still holding out. I still want my '59 Caddy. I want those. I want the mortish, the real fins on the back. I mean, I want it. God, you know, that. Well, that's the dream hearse. All right, but even still, I would still take. I liked my '74 Miller Meteor that I had with the Art Deco lighting on the inside. So. You know, but I would like one in black. That's the weirdest thing. Can you believe I've owned two hearses? The first one was Hunter Green, and the second one was white. I have yet to have now. Come on, you would think how hard is it to get a black hearse?
Well, then just get any color and have it painted.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell the white one that I had was black, but because it was in service in Florida, they had to paint it white. Because I found out hearses in Florida and California predominantly are white because of the strong sun, and things get a little stinky. Because black absorbs the heat, and it gets a little too toasty. But we're here in the Northeast, so that. But someday, I would like to get into the car, but people, you know, pay no attention to that ad, or that man behind the curtain, in that Ghost magazine, because we don't have Morbid Mobile Tours anytime soon. So, want to do some shout-out?
Oh, why not?
Okay. Each week, we will give a shout-out to a paranormal investigating group or ghost hunting club. We want to recognize those exceptional organizations out there in the field who are doing the research and sharing their findings via their websites. If you would like your group shouted at, send an email with the link to your site to thedeadline@njghs.net. We'll check out your site, and if you make the grade, we'll email you to let you know which show your shout-out will be aired on. Okay, this week's shout-out goes to... Ghost Hunters. Yes, those TAPS guys on Sci-Fi, Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson, along with their tech manager, Steve Gonsalves. You can check out the Sci-Fi site at www.sci-fi.com/ghosthunters or the TAPS site at www.the-atlantic-paranormal-society.com. Guys, that is a domain name, but what a freaking mouthful, you know? Anyway, these guys have brought what we do as ghost hunters and paranormal investigators to the mainstream, so we do want to acknowledge that and thank them for that. It has been a big shot in the arm for the rest of us out here who now don't get looked at constantly as if you've got two heads, so,
yeah. I do.
You do? Really?
Yes.
Huh. Why, for ghost hunting? Oh! Well, I said looked at as if you, you know. Never mind. We're not going to get into anatomy here. But yeah, these guys have done a great job. Normally, yes, I should be emailing them to tell them that their shout-out is on this show, but that's pretty futile because I'm sure their email is, like, clogged up the wazoo and down the other side, so there's really no point. And would they actually tune in and listen to the deadline? I highly doubt it. But... it's not stopping me from still paying homage to the fact that they've done a damn good job, and I applaud that, and the NJGHS is thankful to them. And there's your shout out, TAPS guys, Jason, Grant, and Steve, and Ghost Hunters of Sci-Fi.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
Weaver of the Spirit Society of Pennsylvania, and you're listening to the Deadline podcast of New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
Hey, welcome back to the Deadline. It's time for ParaShare. Thanks to those of you who took the time to write in and share your great ghostly encounters and paranormal experiences. You're now entered in the monthly drawing for membership in the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. And don't worry if you win membership and you already are a member, you can gift this to somebody. You know, come to think of it, what a great stocking stuffer. Right?
How would you fit in the stocking?
No, the membership.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Lifetime membership is only $20. That gets you the ability to participate in the cemetery hunts and private investigations, to get the training that you need alongside your more seasoned veteran NJGHS members and team leaders. And, you know, if you've got someone who's sitting there, you know, just reading a Hans Holzer book or a Jeff Belanger book, and you're going to go out and buy the latest and greatest by any of those authors, why not stuff inside it a membership so the person has something to actually do once they've read the book?
I think I'll gift myself one.
Yeah, honestly. Duh. All right, so anyway, enough of the infomercial. Here's your ParaShare. Now, this ParaShare comes to us from Crystal Regan. It's quite lengthy, so bear with me. I live here in New Jersey for 7 years with my husband and daughter, but I was born and raised in Manila, Philippines. Manila had a very rich but violent history from the revolution against the colonizing of Spain. Revolution against the Americans, to the massacre of thousands of innocent civilians by Japanese soldiers, including the death of these Japanese and American soldiers during the Second World War, making various places and buildings in our city famous for ghost hauntings. The most frequent stories were sightings of decapitated soldiers in the woods, headless priests and monks in churches, ghostly nuns, and even children. There were also reported sightings of a woman with long black hair dressed in a white dress who likes to hail and ride a cab. Many cab drivers had seen this woman. Most of them reported that when they look at their rearview mirror to ask her for the destination, she will not answer. But when they turn around to ask her for the second time, she was gone. It was said that all cars that will pass the road where she appeared should honk 3 times, especially at night, because if you don't, she will ride with you at the back seat of your car, especially when you're alone, to keep you company. She is popularly known as the White Lady of Ballette Drive, but this is not my story. A bonus story, but not my personal experience, or better yet, experiences. When I was a child during the 70s, I remember when some elders would scare uncontrollable, tantrum-ridden children with ghost stories to shut them up. For instance, when a small child throws a wild tantrum because he was not allowed to go out at night to play outside, the parents will say something like, "Fine, go right ahead, go out, and this huge, ugly, ghostly, half-bodied, winged monster who loves to eat children will get you, take you to the woods and feed on you." I know, it was horrible, but during those times, scare tactics never failed. The downside of this was the children will grow up scared of everything, especially dark places and the unknown. But that's why we have therapists today.
Well, we pay them all that money.
Exactly. In my family, it was the other way around. Definitely no scaring for us. We were not misbehaving anyway. My father will never let us watch horror movies or listen to ghost stories by ourselves, and if we do watch it with them, we were always assured that the story was just a product of the movie maker's imagination. The story was not true. Ghosts are not real. And I believed my father. Don't get me wrong, he might have lied to us. He did it because he didn't want us to have nightmares, nor he wanted us to grow up into scaredy cats. And it worked. As a child, I was not afraid of the dark. I can go upstairs by myself, and I was not afraid of the unknown. Now I know that my parents believe in ghosts, and they just don't want to talk about it.
You see, during those times, nobody wanted to talk about ghosts. I had not even heard of the word paranormal back then. For the believers, they just keep their mouths shut, wary of being teased and mocked. And for the non-believers, no words can ever convince them until they see it in their own eyes and experience it firsthand, which happened to me and changed my mind 180 degrees. I have had numerous experiences with ghosts, whether it was of relatives and friends who passed on or spirits of the unknown, to different unexplained phenomena on different places I have been or had visited. But my first close encounter of the paranormal kind happened when I was 7 years old. I will never forget that day. As a second grader at St. Mary's College, I was dropped home by my school bus at exactly 4 p.m. in the afternoon every day. I have a brother who is 2 years older than I am, who was still in school, but will be home in another hour or so. I have another brother who is 2 years younger than I am, and was playing somewhere outside the house with his nanny. Both of our parents were working and would not be back till later that night. Like my regular routine, upon coming home from school, I went straight upstairs, changed from my school uniform to my more comfortable clothes, and went downstairs to get a snack and do my homework at the dining room table. Very typical, normal day for me, except for one thing. We had a power outage that afternoon, and no one knew what time the power would be back on. My eldest brother, Paul, came home. He went upstairs and hurriedly changed from his school uniform and quickly ran outside as I heard his friends calling him and telling him to hurry up. Apparently, he had no homework that day. He finished it in school. I know. He is the smartest among the three of us and always brought home the medals and honors every year. As I finished my homework, I sat there at the dining room table wondering what to do next. Can't watch TV, can't turn on the stereo, can't do anything. Stupid burnout or brownout. I was sitting there staring at the flickering candle, all bored, bored out of my wits. I went into the kitchen, hoping to strike a conversation with our maid and hear some of her childhood stories, but it looked like she didn't want to be bothered and was busy preparing our dinner. I went back to the living room, took my doll and some of my dining set toys from the cabinet and played under the stairs. The nanny with my youngest brother James came in. He laid down on the couch and fell asleep while the nanny went to the kitchen to help her sister. The day was ending and dusk was quickly fading. I was under the stairs having a tea party with my dolls and it was getting dark. I needed some source of illumination, but I couldn't use a candle. My parents specifically told us to never play with candles, so I was thinking, what can I possibly use as a light without using a candle? My little mind was thinking, ah yes, my dad has a flashlight in his work desk upstairs. That's what I'm going to use. I excitedly went upstairs to their room, opened the drawer to his desk, and there it was, my light. I took the flashlight, went downstairs, and I hung it on one of the protruding nails by the stairs and turned it on like my own chandelier. Excuse me. Unfortunately, the nail got loose. The flashlight fell on the floor, accidentally unscrewing the glass cap, spilling everything that was inside, from the batteries to the bulb, everywhere. Good thing the glass didn't break. I was so scared. And, you know, that now she knew her dad was going to know. She went through his desk drawer, took the light. I picked up all the pieces, ran upstairs. Hopefully I can fix it up there. I didn't want the maid or the nanny to see I broke the flashlight because then they would surely tell on me. I was upstairs in my dad's study, nervously trying to fix the flashlight, but my little child hands couldn't seem to screw the cap back on, let alone stick them back together. You know the spiral wire coil inside that has to be pushed in the batteries. I can't do that because my hands were, or she couldn't do it because her hands were so tiny. I was trying all possible ways and was having such a hard time attempting to stick them together, as well as praying not to be caught by anyone, when all of a sudden I heard a groan. I didn't pay attention, and I still continued with my misery, then, arrr, there it is again. I took my eyes off what I was doing, and I looked by the door. I bet you it was Paul. He probably saw that I was doing that and tried to scare me. I went back to work, then I heard it again, this time a little bit louder. I yelled back to who I thought was my brother, "Stop teasing me, I'm afraid, I'm going to tell Dad." And then I ran to the door to catch him. Ha! No one was there. I went to the other room, and it was empty. I checked the closet. Not there. I looked outside the window. There he was, playing with his friends. I went down the stairs. James was still sleeping on the couch, and the sisters were still in the kitchen. I went back upstairs and tried to finish what I was doing. I heard it again, groaning, breathing. Sounds like labored, painful, mournful breathing, like the sound of someone who is gasping for his final breath of air, a dying breath. I tried to follow where the awful sound was coming from, like it was coming from the outside window, but I was on the second floor, and there was no possible way that someone would be able to stand outside of that window. I stared at the green curtains. They were not moving. There was no wind or anything. I know that those barred windows behind the curtains were open, and it was there. Whatever it was coming from that window. With the broken flashlight on my left hand, I quietly walked closer to the window. As the gasping got louder, I slowly touched the curtain, and with a swift grasp of my right hand, I lifted the curtain up. Oh my! I dropped the curtain as quick as I lifted it up. I stood there motionless for seconds, trying to decipher what I just saw. Then slowly I lifted up the curtain again, hoping that the thing was no longer there, hoping that my eyes were just playing tricks on me. And there it was, just a couple of feet outside the window, something that I have never seen before, something so out of this world even my own eyes could not believe what I was seeing. I saw this floating, huge, phantom face, a white, cloudy, transparent face figure apparition, a head with two holes that looked like eyes, hole in the middle that looked like a nose, and a huge hole that looked like a mouth. I used holes as a description for his eyes, nose, and mouth, because these holes were not white, cloudy, nor transparent. It was like when you cut out a white piece of paper and peered through the holes. That is how it looked. The fading light of the sky as the day nears its end was very clear through those holes. Believe me, this hole in the opened mouth widened when it gasps for its breath, moving with the sound of its labored breathing. Yes, it was a face, a moving, gasping face that looked so grim, the face that looked like death. I ran like hell downstairs. I did not speak of the incident to anyone. I held it inside for years and years until I felt it safe. I mean, safe enough for me to recount my experience to some people who had experiences of their own with the unknown. I was already in high school when I spoke about it, and to tell you, it was the first incident. That was the first incident. Never knew then that the paranormal would become a part of my life. As to the flashlight, the hell with it. Before I ran downstairs, I put the pieces back in my dad's drawer. I didn't care. Nobody saw me messed with it, but something or someone else saw me that night, and it was something. Wow, very good. Good writer, too.
Yes, very good story.
She really captured all the details and everything, and boy, if she saw that face and everything, I don't know how she had the guts to just say, well, let me go put the flashlight back, then go downstairs. I would have been, like, dropping it, running, you know. Well, thank you very much, Crystal, for that parashare.
Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
Hi, I'm Rick Fisher of the Paranormal Society of Pennsylvania, and you're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Hey, it's time for Haunted Trivia. Now, last week you were asked, who built the Gargoyle home at 819 North 4th Street in 1884? The answer, it was built by B.P. Wagoner. He was also a lawyer and politician in the Atchison, Kansas area in the late 1800s. I do believe, yes, we had a winner.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Kelly, I believe it was Kelly of Hackensack, who got that answer correct. And we did have a winner for when we asked about what state the headless horse apparition was in.
Right, right.
That was Andrew Knapp of Newton, New Jersey. Got that right.
People are guessing.
They're doing something, but they're getting it right. And a shout out goes to Heather Noblet of Richardson, Texas, who got the right answer of Catfish Plantation. We had several people who got that answer correct, but she was the first one to email it in. So there you go. So people do actually get t-shirts and bumper stickers. So
I'm just surprised they're actually guessing.
Yeah, but that was good. Let's see. This week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of very challenging. In Leighton Buzzer, I don't know if you pronounce it Leighton or Leighton, Buzzard, England, there was a motorcycle shop haunted by a poltergeist. The spirit was so strong that it could raise up bike covers in midair and drop them. It flew spanners off the hooks. It was powerful enough to smash the fairings on three motorcycles housed there. Hans Holzer investigated and documented this haunted motorcycle bike shop. What is the name of the shop's owner? Now, again, it's Leighton. It's Leighton, Buzzard, Buzzard, England. Okay. Hans Holzer investigated it. What's the name of the shop's owner? Okay. Be the first person to email this correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win a New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society t-shirt. At this point, I can tell you we only have kids' t-shirts left. They are adorable. On the back, it says Boo, and on the front, it's got Inspector Ghosto, our little ghost logo. And it says Junior Ghost Hunter and the NJGHS website. So, you know, if you win, that's great. You have a little something-something to put in a stocking or as an extra little gimme gift for one of the kids on your shopping list for the holidays because, you know, and it's a nice black t-shirt with the gold print. So there you go. We had Kelly who won, right? Right, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Of Hackensack, yes, there we go. Oh, and guess what? Not only did she get the haunted trivia right, Kelly Palazzi of Hackensack also was drawn from all the people who submitted parishares for the month of November and won membership.
Wow.
Yay, Kelly. Mm-hmm. So her lifetime membership is going out in the mail. She gets her card and certificate, and she is now an official member of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, which, by the way, we are 90 people away from having our big 500 blowout bash.
Wow.
We're at 410, so.
Blowout bash?
Yes. When we get our 500th member, the 500th member is going to get a very nice extra special membership certificate. We are definitely going to do a big blowout bash and celebrate that the organization has 500 members. And
funny thing is, like I said, what was it, September of 04 I joined as 100?
Yeah.
And we're in only November of 06, and we've gained over 300 members.
Yep. So, and this big blowout bash will consist of BYOB and Buffalo Wings. There you go. No.
Hey, that ain't bad.
But that works for me. I'm sorry. I'm a big, you know, like, if I could put buffalo sauce on Alpo and eat it, you know? I just love buffalo sauce.
Ew.
No. It's like, that was the worst part when I was a vegetarian. It was like, I couldn't have my buffalo wings, but you know what I devised? A buffalo mozzarella wrap. I would make the mozzarella sticks, drown them in buffalo sauce, shred some lettuce. Now, hear me out. People, this is really good. Shred some lettuce. I roll them up in a fajita with the shredded lettuce, and then you cut it in half, put a big blob of Marie's blue cheese dressing on the plate, and dip it in. Oh, good eating. You know, for a vegetarian, it was the closest you could come to buffalo's wings. Anyway, but we will have a pretty decent bash, and all the members will be invited. So, you know.
That's a lot of buffalo wings.
I make them good, by the way. And I make them somewhat healthy, too. I have figured out how to make buffalo wings, baking them first in the oven. So they're baked. They're not deep fried. I don't use any of the bread coatings or bread crumbs or any of that stuff. So people who have a gluten intolerance can still have my buffalo wings. I have a really good buffalo sauce. I'm telling you.
You're going to be baking for like 2 weeks prior. Think about it. Even for 10 wings a person, which is nothing, that's 5,000 wings.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The Purdue factory. They'll probably have like an 18-wheeler backing up to my apartment and dumping off chicken wings. Okay. Well, before I get hungry, let's wrap this up here. I have to remind people to register for Ghost World Conference. It's at ghostworldconference.com. Registration is $115. If you are a member of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, you can register for the $85 buddy rate, which is good until April 30th, 2007. You must email me, laurah@njghs.net, and request the buddy rate. Again, go to ghostworldconference.com and register. This is the conference. I'm telling you, no matter what you hear about other conferences out there and oh, this, that, and the other, forget it. We've got the presenters. We've got the authors. We've got the venue. I mean, Gettysburg. Come on. You go to bed and you wake up with ghosts, you know? You will have coffee with ghosts everywhere you go with ghosts. Don't think about it when you're in the shower, but they're there, you know? I mean, it's haunted.
Don't do anything in there. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like if you wouldn't want your mother to see it, don't do it, you know? But anyway, so stay tuned to our website, the njghs.net, and sign up for our Yahoo groups. And you'll always get the latest and greatest info that way as well. Thanks again to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline. And our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish and Laura Lindemann. And Don Slepian of DonSlepian.com for our theme song, which, people, I still have not gotten any suggestions for the name of our Deadline theme song. So I guess you really don't want the bumper sticker, the CD, and the T-shirt sent to you for finally coming up with that. That or, I don't know, do we, like, lack creativity in our masses out there or what?
Well, maybe we're not offering enough.
Oh. All right, screw it then. Oh, and don't forget to vote for us on PodcastAlley.com. It is a new month. It's December. So please log on to PodcastAlley.com. The link is right on the Deadline page. It's on the home page of the NJGHS.net site. Use it. Vote for us. If you have a couple email addresses, you know, one at work, one at home, whatever, you know, every vote counts. Every vote helps. So get our ranking up there. We really appreciate it. And thanks again to all of you for listening and keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life you have to meet the deadline.